Church family, will you join me in prayer? Father God, we thank you for this beautiful season of worship we all just enjoyed. We thank you, dear God, for the beginning of this season. We thank you for each one here. Lord, we are missing a number of ours in this building today. Wherever they might be, let your blessings light upon them. But Father God, you've brought us here. We are here, and we are here for the purpose of drawing near unto you. And it is our prayer, dear God, that as you have examined each and every heart and mind here, that you have found us drawing near unto you, to your throne, to your holiness, to your person. And now, dear God, we pray for your blessings to abound, and we pray that they would abound as your word is proclaimed. Father God, let this time be beautiful. Let this place just be filled with love. Let this place be filled with a passion for the gospel. May your Holy Spirit move in this room. But Father God, and all that transpires here in this place, may it be for thy glory. We love you, O Lord our God, and it's in your Son's most precious name that we do pray. Amen. The title of today's sermon is From Gratitude to Anticipation. I'd like to share with you from a section of verses from Luke chapter 1, verses 46 to 55, which is often called Mary's song. It's also called the Magnificat. And it says, "And Mary said, 'My soul exalts the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. For he has regard for the humble state of his bondslave. For behold, from this time on, all generations will count me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is upon generation after generation towards those who fear him. He has done mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who were proud in the thoughts of their heart. He has brought down rulers from their thrones and has exalted those who were humble. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent away the rich empty-handed. He has given help to Israel, his servant, in remembrance of his mercy. And he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and his descendants forever.'" Mary spoke these words upon understanding that she was pregnant with the Christ child. She broke out into this song. Her heart leapt within her. She rejoiced at the challenge that was before her, the blessing that was before her, the anointing of the Lord that was upon her. Thanksgiving, which just passed, reminds us to be grateful for what God has done. It calls us to look back and reflect in thanks because God has moved in our lives and in this world. It calls us to interpret his movement and then to realize that the movement of the Lord that is upon our lives was meant as a blessing. Everything that he does is to call us forward. But as Christmas approaches, we are drawn into the season of anticipation. There was anticipation before the Christ child was born, but now as we celebrate Christmas, we do not celebrate a baby that was born who turned into a man that died. We celebrate a risen Lord who is coming back again for his children. Amen? So we move to a spirit of anticipation, looking forward to what God will do through Christ. Mary's song of praise offers a powerful reflection for you and I. It calls on us both to have both gratitude and hope within us, guiding us as we transition from one season to the next. And this transitioning of seasons from Thanksgiving to Christmas, as we move from thankfulness to anticipation, it ought to be a call for us as well as we move through our seasons of life. That into each season that we move into, we should move into it with anticipation that God is on his throne, that Jesus is in our hearts, that his Holy Spirit is all around us, and that he is working and moving on our behalf. And then with each day that passes, we get to look back with thankfulness that our anticipation was realized. But then as each day comes, to keep greeting each day with anticipation. But as we look back, point number one, we need to have praise for what God has done. It is so easy for us as human beings to get so locked up at the stage of life that a lot of us are in. There is a time in life where life gives to you freely. And it gives and it gives and it gives. But then there is a season that we reach where it seems as if life starts taking from us more than it gives to us. It takes our health. It takes our hope. It takes our finances. It takes our loved ones. But in all of these things, where we are challenged, where we reflect, there must be gratitude. Because God has done amazing things in each of our lives. In this point number one, we need to focus on Mary's song in verse 46 and 47. My soul exalts or magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. And the key idea here is that Mary begins with this heartfelt gratitude for God's personal working in her life. And brothers and sisters, as surely as you are here and as surely as you live, God is moving in your life. Can I get an amen? He is moving, and he is moving powerfully. And we need to take time to reflect on how God has blessed us, both individually and as a church. Now, as we consider this, I've got to share with you, and I'm going to open up, and I'm going to be vulnerable here for a moment. So enjoy it while it lasts. This last year, in many ways, although I have grown to appreciate and love the Lord in ways that perhaps eluded me throughout most of my life, it was a dark year for me, filled with many challenges. And we sometimes wonder, as we face these challenges, and when we have certain years in our life that are darker than others, like, boy, oh boy, didn't I start this year with a bang, you know? January 3rd, a day that will live in infamy for me. But you see, there's something that out of everybody in this room, there's only one person in this room besides myself that knows the whole story. And that's the most amazing secretary that's ever lived, Marianne. And I'm going to share part of the story with you now. Brothers and sisters, I believe in God. And I believe in a God that sets captives free. Can I get an amen? I believe in a God that is at work in this world. And I believe that we have an enemy as well. And this enemy does things. This enemy, like on the day that I leave for my mission trip, would strike one of my sisters, giving her heart problems. This enemy moving throughout this world, he does things. He harms loved ones. He causes us to doubt, to wonder, to step back, to sit down. But God calls us forward. Just yesterday, I was in the garage of my wonderful brother right over here, Randy. And Randy and I have been walking a similar path for these last couple years. Haven't we, brother? You know, I had my second heart attack. He had two heart attacks in just the last few years. I went half blind. He went more blind than me. You know, we've had our challenges. Yeah, in case you don't know it, my brother Randy is legally blind. So doesn't that make his leading of worship the other week even more amazing? There comes times, and like as my brother asked me yesterday in the garage, what do we do now? Brothers and sisters, there is but one thing that each and every one of us should agree on, that we have all been put on this world for one purpose, and that is to love God and to be loved by God. And as a sub-point of that first and foremost point, to serve him with gladness. This is what we do. When the doctor gives you bad news, you love the Lord your God and you serve him with gladness. When you get more bad news from the same doctor, you love the Lord with gladness and you serve him with gladness. As the challenges come, your purpose never changes. Can I get an amen? And when I'm talking about my own dark path for this last year, you see, last Christmas, and this is the part where I said I'm going to be a little vulnerable here. There is a Scottish, Celtic, Irish band called the Pogues. And the Pogues, now, don't go look them up. they're not a Christian band. That's not what I'm saying. But their singer, who was a very interesting looking fellow, but dearly loved in his homeland, in 87, when I was in high school, my junior year, they released a song that made it here to America called A Fairy Tale of New York. And it's a Christmas carol, but it's a dark Christmas carol. It's not one you want to go out caroling to, folks. But since, as you all probably remember yourselves, when you're in high school, there's never a time when your radio's not on. You're always listening to music. Anytime you're in the car with your friends or anything else, you're listening to music. Well, this song actually got fairly popular back in 1987. I think it made it to number one for the Christmas songs of that year. But then lo and behold, last November, not the one that ended yesterday, but the one before, he died. The lead singer of the Pogues died. And upon hearing it, I was sad because I remembered him from high school. And I started listening to his song, A Fairy Tale of New York. And it opens up, as I said, it's a dark song. It opens up and it says, Christmas Eve in the drunk tank. And he talks about how he's in this drunk tank and he's surrounded by a few people and there's an old man there and he says, Merry Christmas, I won't see another one. As this man in the cell next to him wished him a Merry Christmas, he knew his time was up. He said, I'm wishing you a Merry Christmas, but it's my last one. And when those words were said, it was as if the Lord put his hand on my back. And the moment he said those words, you won't see another, I knew very well that death was on the horizon for me. Now, as I said, I'm making myself vulnerable here. I don't hear voices, as I've said. I don't believe that the ecstatic gifts that are mentioned in the scripture that the apostles utilized freely really exist today, at least not in the way that they did in the Bible. I do believe in a God that moves, though. And I do believe in a God that will do any wonder-working moment that he wishes to work. But I do know the movement of the Lord. I remember when I surrendered to the ministry and I was on my floor crying before God. And it was impressed upon me, you're going to be a minister. You're going to get married. You're going to have kids. You're going to live in California, and you're going to serve me. And I got up from that prayer that moment knowing I'm supposed to be a pastor, and I'm going to serve God, and I have a life ahead of me. There was another time when I know the movement of the Lord, and that was when I met my lovely wife, Julie. Inside of 1 week, I knew that this was the girl for me and that we were going to get married. Because as surely as I stand here before you, the Lord put his hand on my back and said, this is the one I was telling you about. Like I said, didn't hear words, but just a truth that I knew. And there are a couple of others that I cannot mention because they involve other people. And then there was this one. And as I mentioned, there's only one person in this room that I've told this story to, and that's Mary Ann. And my wife, and who I believe is in the other room, she knows it as well. And then came that day. So that was in November, as I was looking forward to Christmas. And then came that fateful night when I was supposed to be doing Wednesday night Bible study, but I called and canceled. And I sat down on my chair at home, and I FaceTimed with my wife, and I said, you know, if I don't feel better in the next 30 minutes or so, I'm going to go to the hospital. I was on my way to the hospital within the next 2 minutes because I remembered a hand on my back that said, you're not going to make it to another one. So I arrive. They hook me up to the machines. I have two different EKGs. They both come back clear. Have a blood test, waiting on the blood test. The doctor's about ready to say, well, it looks like another false alarm, Mr. Rush, and send you home. And then a nurse comes in and she says, actually, your levels for, you know, showing heart damage are elevated in your blood. And then the doctor leaves and he goes and looks at the report and he comes back in and he says, Mr. Rush, you're in the middle of a full-fledged heart attack, but you don't look like it. And I said, well, thank you for the compliment, doc. And I said, but this has been the story of my life. I don't always look like how I feel. And then all of a sudden he goes, but your EKG keeps coming back fine. And then the lady at the EKG machine goes, well, third time's a charm. And he goes, it's there, it's there. And then they hauled me off. So now it's December 1st. And I remember God saying to me, you won't see another one. But this is not about, because as I already said, I don't hear voices. But I believe that the Lord used that moment while I was listening to that song to touch me and say, Bob, you need to be serious about this because something's about to happen. And if I had not been serious, I would not have just come back from a mission trip to the Ukraine. If I had not gotten serious about it, I wouldn't have had all of this wonderful year where my sister Marianne and I sit in the office on Fridays and just talk about each other's lives to each other and solve all the world's problems. I wouldn't have become friends with my brother Randy. We wouldn't have had this time to walk this path together as we've been challenging with our health and stuff. I wouldn't have had all of the laughter and the fun of all the lunches with my brother Gary after church. I wouldn't have had the joy of singing all of my friends that have been coming to church to join me over this last year. And you see them, you know they're not here today, but you know who they are. And it's been such a blessing because I listened. Because I listened, I'm still here. Now, brothers and sisters, we say to ourselves, how can you have gratitude, though, when you've had these challenges? Because I had a challenge. But as we've shared before, my challenge does not have me. Jesus has me. Can I get an amen? I am not owned by my problems, and I don't want to be defined by my problems. I don't want my problems or Satan thinking that they have some kind of a hold on me, some kind of a lordship over me, because only Jesus is Lord. And yeah, I had a heart attack, but thanks to the warning that I believe he warned me with, I'm still here today. Now, am I saying to you, I think I've only got about another 25 days left? We shall see. But no, I don't really think that that's the thing. Because like I said, I don't hear voices. I was listening to a song and the Lord put his, spiritually speaking, put his hand upon me and said, I hope you heard that. Might he take me home in the next 25 days? If he wants me, here I am, Lord. Because to be by his side in glory, that'll be the best thing that's ever happened to me. And it'll be the best thing that has ever happened to you as well, brothers and sisters, when the day comes. Do I think that God only gave me till December 25th of this year? No, I think he used those moments to try to say to me, pay attention or you're not going to see another one. I hope. But brothers and sisters, yeah, it was a challenge. It was real. But how can we have gratitude? How can you be thankful for having a heart attack? How can you be thankful for any of these other things that have happened? Because again, because of it, my brother and I have drawn closer together. Because of it, I stress out a lot less about silly things. Let me just say that. But because of it, I've had friends come to church with me. because of it. I've seen people's lives be touched and their hearts be changed. Brothers and sisters, we look to yesterday with thanksgiving, and we look to tomorrow with anticipation, because we keep our eyes on God, whether we're looking backwards or forwards. And we interpret our lives through the movement of God. And because we interpret our lives through the movement of God, we also have to trust in what God is doing. And this trust that we're talking about is faith. In verse 52, it says this: "He hath brought down rulers from their thrones and has exalted those who are humble." As we trust in what God is doing, we understand something. Mary recognized that God's work is ongoing, and that he was actively reversing worldly values and exalting the humble and fulfilling his promise. This is a beautiful thing. Mary's song is speaking of what's going to happen because there's going to be a Jesus. Of what's going to happen because the Christ will be born. The world's values would shift. Just as Mary trusted God with the extraordinary calling and carrying of the Messiah, Mary had faith. She had faith in her circumstance. And we need to have faith in our present trials, in our present hopes, in all that you and I endure, in all that you and I get to rejoice in. Have faith through it, because your God is real, and your God is on his throne, and your God, his eye is on the sparrow, and that means his eye is on you, and you will never be outside of his gaze, brothers and sisters. When I was in the Ukraine and then in Romania, there's something very interesting over there, something very dark. The shadow of Vladimir Putin, it's far and wide over there. The countries that border Russia, they know the situation. And they know who he is. And they know him well. And believe it or not, they're actually a little fearful of him. When I was at one church preaching, and I mentioned that I used to be a judo guy, the guy who was interpreting, he stops and he goes, "Judo, oh, that's like, that Putin does that." Putin has a 7th degree black belt in judo. Or I should say, he did until we took it from him. We canceled his black belt, brothers and sisters. So there you go. So just like I said over there in Romania, next week I could bring a whole bunch of yellow belts and tie one around each and every one of you, and you could outrank Vladimir Putin in judo. How awesome is that? One of the highest rankers in the entire world, and we took it away from him after he invaded. And it's a great thing. But as I said this to him, he wouldn't interpret any of it, because he didn't want to say anything bad about Putin. And in another church I was at, you know me, because I'm not going to hold my tongue, I referred to the madman up to the north, and they wouldn't interpret it. They don't want to be seen with those words coming out of their mouths about Vladimir Putin. And I just say, I'll say it loud and clear, brothers and sisters. Why? What has God brought me through in my life? How many times has my life been spared? How many times? I mean, I've shared with you all the instances in my life where God intervened, where people died, where I was standing, should have been standing. It has been amazing, all of the circumstances and challenges in my life that he removed me from. And then he even warned me about what was coming last year. Who do I serve? I serve the Lord Most High. I'm not going to be afraid of any man that can harm this body. Not a single one of them. Rather, in accordance with the scripture, I'm not going to fear man. I'm going to put my fear, my trust, my reverence, my everything in the one that can destroy a soul in hell if he wishes to. But praise the Lord. It's the Lord's will that none should perish. Amen. The Lord has no desire to destroy. He calls us forward to him. Just as Mary trusted God with the extraordinary calling of carrying the Messiah, she had to have faith that the burden of the Christ child that she was carrying, we now need to have faith in the Christ that can carry our burdens. We need to have the faith and the trust in God that any of our challenges, whether it's our health, whether it's our finances, whether it's our relationships, no matter what it is, we have to have the faith and the trust that when we go before the Lord and we lay those burdens at his feet, that he is in fact mighty enough to save, mighty enough to lift up, mighty enough to deliver. And church family, I would just ask you the question, do you believe in a God that frees the oppressed? Do you believe in a God that breaks the shackles that hold us down? Do you believe in a God that sets captives free? I do. And I'm here to tell you that whether I only have 24 days left or not is irrelevant. What matters is that with every breath that I have, whether he gives me another 24 years, 48 years, or 24 minutes, the only thing that matters in all of creation is that with my very last breath, I am still praising his holy name, lifting up his son for all the world to see. This is the only thing that matters. What would it matter if I gained the whole world? But not that it would ever happen. But God fell out of love with me. What would it matter if I had everything? If I had the strength to move mountains, but didn't have a walk with God? Oh, that's horror to me. God brings a tear to my eye on a daily basis. God moves throughout all of the challenges that I have ever faced. And I'm thankful that now that I've reached the ripe old age of 55, that I get to look back and see all of the ways that he has saved me, delivered me, helped me, lifted me up. And the fact that he has done this for me as a pastor, it gives me great joy to know that whenever I speak to my loved ones, my church family, my own family, whoever it might be, that I can have the faith and the trust that just what God has done in my life, he will work in their lives. And that even as they face trials, that I know God will bring them to a point one day where they will be able to look back and so clearly see that God was with them, helping them and carrying them. Our God is a beautiful God. Hope in what God will do is the Christian definition of anticipation. In verses 54 and 55, it says, he has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever. He has helped his servant, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever. Well, I got good news for you, brothers and sisters. You and I have been grafted into that vine. Amen. You and I have been brought near, adopted into God's own household. We are part of his family, and he has promised to remain merciful to his family and his descendants forever. Mary's song, it points to the fulfillment of God's promises. Mary was in the challenge. It was a blessing, but it was also a challenge, I'm sure. She was in that moment, but she was already looking forward to what was going to happen. Can you only imagine that at the time in her life when the baby Jesus came to the point where it could kick and turn and push, and as she would hold her own stomach, I don't know if you've ever taken a close look at a lady's tummy when she's expecting, like expecting soon. But sometimes you can almost make out the various body parts that are pressing from the inside. That was a foot. Can you imagine as she would have been holding her own stomach, cradling her child, who is to be the savior of all humanity? That in those moments, how she would reflect and reflect upon the scripture from Isaiah 53 that our brother Gary just read, to Psalm 22, to see what was waiting for her baby, and the majesty and the magnificence of that moment, where she would think to herself, this child is going to save mankind from its sins. This child is going to make it possible that people can turn to the Lord. This child is going to bring a new covenant into this world of grace and of faith. This child is going to give its life so that all who would but believe could be saved. As we approach Christmas, brothers and sisters, let's renew our hope in Christ. Let's renew our hope in His soon-to-be return. Let's renew our hope in Jesus Christ, that no matter what the doctor has told us, our lives are in His hands. Let's renew our hope that in any and all challenges that we face, we will first believe and rightly believe that Jesus Christ is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and nothing will ever overtake me or surpass me except that which He allows. Brothers and sisters, if you have been spared by Jesus, will you say amen? Amen. If you have faced challenges with Jesus, will you say amen? If you face challenges and you had hardships where at times you felt you were alone, but can look back now and see that in fact God was with you and He brought you through those moments, will you say amen? Brothers and sisters, Mary's song, it reminds us that the seasons of gratitude and anticipation, they're deeply connected. Thanksgiving leads us to look back and praise God, while Advent invites us to look forward with hope and with joy, knowing that the same God that has brought us through everything and who has blessed us beyond our wildest imagination, the God that has caused us to just well up with thankfulness for all that He is and all that He has done, is the same God that's the God of today and the same God that is the God of tomorrow. He's the same God that stepped on Satan's head on the cross. He's the same God that's going to return in glory from beginning to end. Jesus Christ is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Brothers and sisters, drink in this truth. Internalize it. Make it your personal truth that Jesus Christ loves you and He will never leave you nor forsake you. In closing, Philippians 1:6 says, to let He who began a good work in you carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Christian family, Jesus has begun a good work in you. And that good work started in the most realist sense the day that you prayed and asked Jesus Christ into your heart as Lord and personal Savior. Now, let Him work in you. Let Him move in you all the way to the day that it is completed in His holy kingdom. Brothers and sisters, of that moment, the scripture says that you and I will be made co-heirs together with Jesus Christ, that we will be rewarded in heaven in accordance with His riches in glory. And I got to tell you, our Lord is rich. Amen. He's going to rain His love down upon us. What a day of rejoicing that will be. Brothers and sisters, I hope that nothing that I said today about my spiritual journey, about what happened to me last November, rubbed any of you wrong in any way, shape, or form. Allow me to reiterate one more time. I don't hear voices. I'm not a big believer in a lot of that kind of stuff. But I believe in a God that will do anything he wants, whenever he wants, however he wants. But regarding his speaking, remember Hebrews 1, 1 and 2. God long ago spoke to the fathers through the prophets in many portions and in many ways. And today he has spoken to us in his Son. Let Jesus into your life. Let his word richly dwell within you. Will you join me in prayer? Our most gracious Lord and Heavenly Father, you are beautiful and you are glorious. And you are our God. My dearest Jesus, you have carried me, saved me, delivered me. And I am so unworthy of everything that you've ever done on my behalf. So, Father God, I just well up in a moment of thankfulness right now, praising your holy name for your movement in my life and in the lives of this church. And Father God, I know that each of us have walked paths at moments in our lives where we would just wonder, what could God possibly be doing in this time? What could God possibly be wanting to work through the ugliness of this moment? And that's when we have to remind ourselves of the ministry, dear God. And we ask that you would remind us of the ministry. Remind us of our purpose to love you and to be loved by you and to serve you with all that we are. Because it's only there where we find our true reward. It's only there where we become that which Jesus wishes to mold us into. Lord God, let us be the clay in your hands. And please, mold us into the image and likeness of your Son. Mold us into the people that you would have us be. And may we be a people that praises your name. And now, Lord God, if there's someone here of whom you're putting a decision on their heart, maybe there is a need. Maybe somebody wants to become a Christian or join the church or be baptized. Father God, whatever it is, if it glorifies you and if it's you writing those words onto a believer's heart, then Lord God, don't let us leave until it's been confessed. But dear Lord, this is your moment. We rejoice that we get to share it with you. Be with us now. In your Son's name, amen. Will you please rise, family?